What's that thing on your neck of the guitar?
Something that Frank hated. It's called a capo. But I can tell you, there's a picture of him with one on his.
I would love to see that picture.
Doug Goss insisted on it. It'll benefit for us after the house fire.
1 year, Frank gave me a capo for my birthday.
Really?
Yeah. It was something was humorous to him about that. I never could figure out the what he was trying to say to me, giving me the thing that he hated. Anyway, our guest today, right now, is Lisa Thomas. Lisa is the widow of the late, great Frank Thomas, who died just a short time ago, really. It seems like he was only yesterday he was around. He's another one like Bobby Hicks that I miss every day. One of Florida's great songwriters. And Lisa, to her credit, has made it her business to learn quite a few of his songs, keeping them alive. And there are a lot of people do his songs, but you more than anybody, and that's great. What is your history with the Florida Folk Festival?
Well, I hadn't seen Bobby Hicks in a long time, and Bobby was like a brother to me. And he dated my sister in high school. They even took me on some of their dates, you know. And he encouraged me to play and all that sort of thing. And I hadn't seen him in a good long while. Saw him in the bank in Tampa. And I said, "Where are you playing? Haven't seen you in a long time." And so he said, "You need to be at Will McLean in the Florida Folk Festival." That was 2004. And Ann was still alive. And Frank and I made plans 2 years later to have our first date on the Friday after the Folk Festival. And I've been coming since then to help Frank out.
Well, that's excellent.
I'm very blessed to be here. The fact that they let me come and do this is an honor.
Well, I feel very blessed to have you keeping Frank's songs alive for all of us, and it's always such a privilege to get to see you play. And I don't know.
Thank you so much.
And I'll say this: she comes from a long way. I mean, Lake Wales. A lot of the times, she was playing in St. Pete almost every week.
Yes.
And taking that drive from Lake Wales around the south or around the north, and a big old bay there in a way. And.
Doing it, I learned the quickest way, though. So
yeah, you learned the progress that you've made just since I've known you is just tremendous.
Thank you.
Used to be very shy, very shy.
Yes.
I swear, every time I see you, you're even more confident, and it just gets better every time.
Yeah, when Frank passed, I had him way up on a pedestal a lot higher than me and my talents, even though I've been singing since I was a child. Really, very nervous doing it. I got a little better over time with Frank. And when he passed, I said, "Got to get over that nervousness, that shyness, or you won't be able to carry on this music like he requested that I do." And it's an honor to do those things that he told me I needed to do before he ever left.
Well, how about a Frank Thomas song?
All righty. I'm going to start with the first song that he wrote. He was going to do a show in Alabama, and there's a fella that lived in Auburndale, I believe. He had a restaurant known as the Carl Allen's Historical Catfish Cafe.
That's a mouthful.
It is. He said to Alan, Carl, he said, "You ought to go with us to this show up in Alabama. You can MC for us." And Carl's response was, "I can't do it, Frank. My heart is buried in this sand. My heart is buried in this sand," is the tune I'm going to do. "I've seen the Blue Ridge Mountains standing so high, the Shenandoah River with its valley so wide. I've seen all of his beauty made by God's own hand, but Florida, I love you, and my heart is buried in this sand. The old Suwannee River flows down from the north, the great Atlantic coast, where the Spanish built their fort, and the mighty Everglades in the southern reaches of this land. Oh, Florida, I love you, and my heart is buried in this sand. The sea breezes are blowing all through the Keys. The orange trees are growing all across the ridge. And the battlefield at Old Lusty, where General Colquitt made his stand. Oh, Florida, I love you, and my heart is buried in this sand. I know there are places in this world I'll never go, like the mountains of Tibet, where the wind always blows. But I know I have seen a part of nature's beauty planned in the great state of Florida, and my heart is buried in this sand. Oh, Florida, I love you, and my heart is buried in this sand.
Oh, all right. All you can do is think of Frank when you hear that song.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he was a treasure. I was so blessed to be in his life because he introduced me to this Florida folk community, which is so loving and supporting and encouragement. They give full force. And I wouldn't have this family if it wasn't for him.
That's right.
Going to do a book signing over at the Foth booth at the Author's Corner, 12:30 to 1:30. Come see me if you'd like a book. We have some available. And hope you all have a great time at the festival.
Oh, yeah. You as well. And thank you for taking a little time out of your busy schedule to come sit down with us and
play one of Frank's songs.
And I'd still like for you to come over and play at our Monday night shows.
And I need to do that.
When you get
preparation for the festival just takes a lot of effort and time. I meant to be there a week or two ago and didn't work out.
That's okay.
Well,
be there.
Yeah, we've got a nice new home at Bayboro Brewing. It's we play out in the beer garden. It's a lot of fun. It's a good space.
Yeah. Yep. I plan on being there. I will I'll be in touch about that.
All right, awesome. Well, thank you. Look forward to that.
All right.
Thank you.
Very nice. All right, we're here with Ashley, and I'll let her give her last name. I don't want to mispronounce it. She is a first-time visitor.
No.
No.
40 years.
You're the 40-year one. Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I caught her wind of her when we were, where was I? When I first saw you.
At the hotel for breakfast.
At breakfast, yeah.
Yep.
And she had quite a dynamic, appearing family, and they were all dressed in a similar type of
purple tie-dye.
Tie-dye. What's the official name of that tie-dye?
We got it from the Mary and Mom tie-dye shop here. They're a fixture, right? They've been here. Institution,
yes.
Some would say. Been here forever.
Yeah, Cindy Bear yesterday was saying like half her closet is from them. No, they do really great work.
What inspired you to... Is this... Well, I guess I'm... I was prepared for you to be the first time.
So you've been coming for 40 years. How old were you when you first came then?
4 months.
There you go.
Okay. And how old is your littlest?
So Violet is 4, and then Will is about, 15, 16 months old? So it was his second time coming. And also, I guess it was Violet's second time because she came her first year in 2019. And then, of course, like the pandemic years, we didn't come. So, yeah, I was a little disappointing because having grown up coming all the time, I was looking forward
to... Hey, Violet.
Hi, here's Violet.
Oh, and again, matching tie-dye. I love it.
Oh, boy.
This is Violet's choosing, the big red heart with the rainbow, right?
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Oh, they're great.
Yeah.
Violet, you're so talkative in the motel the other day, and I haven't heard a word you said since.
Do you want to say hi? Tell them your favorite thing about the festival?
So, Violet, what's your favorite thing about the Florida Folk Festival?
I think so. We also love the treats.
Is there like a little thing that you wind her up on the back and she suddenly starts to talk?
Yeah, it's waffles and maple syrup.
Oh, there you go.
Waffles and maple syrup. Okay.
We like the orange float, right? Is that yummy? Yeah, maybe a snow cone.
Did you have a root beer float, or do you like the orange?
Not yet. No. We were going to try a root beer float today. We had an orange float yesterday.
Okay.
Say hi.
So this is a family tradition.
Yes, it is. My parents started coming a few years before I was born.
Were they performers?
No. Just my dad came apparently as part of the hippie invasion that year.
Oh,
that's notable. And just my parents came like the year before they were married and then have just been coming since. And we used to camp like right down along the Suwannee River, like pull off on the side of the road before the bridge and just find a spot. And I have a younger brother and always, it's just an adventure, right? Like going in the woods and never knew what you were going to find. And so it's been great. Like I was saying earlier, it was a little disappointing. Just after Violet was born, then didn't come for a couple years. And that's what I always pictured was like her growing up knowing and dancing barefoot with among the trees. And so it's been nice to keep coming. And then
they actually, I think, changed the date of the festival to another part of the year.
Yeah, they had
hoping that would dissuade the hippies from coming back, you know.
So in all of your 40 years of coming, what would you say is your favorite memory from the Folk Fest?
Just a singular one?
I mean, or more than one. What are some of your favorite memories?
I think it's interesting. Some of the things come full circle. You mentioned like some of the old timers and Whitey Markle, one of them. So I went to University of Florida, got my degree in architecture, and Whitey was the woodshop teacher.
Yes. Yeah.
So just wild, like doing a double take. Like he feels really familiar. Yeah. And it wasn't until he came the following year to the festival and saw him on the schedule. I was like, that's why. I just didn't even like put it together. So, you know, that was certainly a great loss.
You know what Whitey was most proud of?
What?
The fact, after he retired, he was proud of the fact that none of his students ever lost a finger.
That's a good thing to be proud of, certainly. He certainly like was very made us very cautious, and you know, followed all the shop rules. So,
what year were you at Florida?
I was there 2001 to 2005, and then again for my master's 2009, 2007, 2009.
I was class of 72.
Nice. That was probably about the time my dad was there. He was there a little bit earlier.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's where the journalism department, I was in journalism, and it was in the stadium.
Uh-huh.
So all the walls were sideways.
Yeah.
You know, they came at an angle.
Couldn't
so
get
if you're
too
in
close.
The last row, you were you hunched over, you know. And Don Grooms was my professor, one of my professors. Yeah, that's how I found out about this place.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, cool.
So,
okay.
And I guess another favorite memory is just going swimming in the river. I remember some notable years. You'd always like, it's always a good way to track the rain level was how high the river was going to be that year, and seeing all the markers. You know, I remember being some of those years that are marked on the post down there. I was here for those. Uh-huh. So that's really cool. You know, that was our
Unbelievable when you go down US 19 where US 19 crosses the Suwannee, and you look out to the east, you see these homes with docks, way up here.
Yes.
And the river's way down here. Like, what's that all about? Well,
and you know, the river had to have been that high or nearly. Yeah.
I've flown over when it was outside of its banks.
Yeah.
Way, hundreds of yards outside of its banks, you know.
Yeah.
I see we have Mark Smith here. We can talk to him a little bit about it. He used to work for the Park Service, or DEP, right?
Yeah. The river level is something. Golly gee. You know,
yeah.
What happens here starts in the Okefenokee Swamp.
Right.
So,
Georgia.
It doesn't even have to rain here if they get a lot in that swamp. And it's like a big sponge. It takes it a while sometimes to
depend
on the state of water in that swamp. So, and these little narrow river channels through here, you know, it flattens out, it widens out down around Branford. Yeah, this really channelized water, it can jump up in a heartbeat. So we've seen it up in the parking lots here. And, it's dramatic.
It is dramatic, yeah, really. Right, well, we're going to talk to Mark in a little bit. He's going to tell us his story. But
Any closing thoughts you want to leave the folks out there with about the Folk Festival? Or?
It's just a great, relaxing experience. And, this weather's a case. Like, you never know, like, what it's going to be like. But it's always a beautiful time to be out and listening to music and just relaxing and learning something about our history and environment. So,
How many different weathers? Can you name all the different weathers you've experienced?
A couple years, it rained just so much. We just like packed up and left. Like everything was soaking wet. Actually like left with the tent and everything behind. And I grew up in St. Augustine. So my dad came back like the next day just because it wasn't even worth like packing it up. Like we'll deal with it later. This is the coldest in my memory, certainly.
I was not prepared for that at all. I brought one pair of jeans and no long sleeves. I was ready to sweat. That's what they do like every year.
Exactly.
Not this year.
And that was actually the impetus for getting one of my tie-dye dresses was, I need something long.
No, my wife and I were scouring like every vendor. Like, does anyone have long sleeves? Please. There's a thrift store over by Bridge Street that we were thinking about hitting up, but...
Yeah, that or the Dollar General, right? Are your best bets.
What about the Year of the Smoke?
The Year of the Smoke. Oh, gosh, yeah. There may have even been a couple years, I feel, because 1 year was canceled, at least, because of the smoke.
What did they call that?
What do you mean?
Because I've seen people with shirts on that says, I survived the...
Oh, I don't know.
Something fire. It had a name to it.
There was certainly a few. That was kind of like my middle school years. It just felt like almost every summer were fires and the sky was orange. And then I think they rescheduled it 1 year because of that. They ended up doing it in the fall because of the threat of the fires. Lots and lots of rain, absolutely no rain to where you're just covered in the dust. And then just usually muggy hot.
Yeah. One cool thing about the festival in early days, the festival used to occur during the school year.
Yes.
And so on the first day of the festival, sometimes either Thursday, the day before the festival started, school buses would come from, I'm talking about from all over North Florida.
Yeah, my fourth grade class came. It was actually, my mom talked my teacher into, hey, you have to bring the kids, especially because you were learning about Florida history those years, fourth and fifth grade, I think. So we came for a school trip, and it was so fun. And yeah, I loved seeing the school groups. Mm-hmm.
And they had actual performers booked that day to perform.
Yeah, and on Fridays, too, school groups would come, so... even on Mondays, the festival used to extend into Monday.
That's right.
So.
Well, circumstances, liability, insurance, all the things that we have to deal with, I guess, prevent it happening now. And I guess it's pretty well set on Memorial Day weekend. It's become, most of them have been on Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
So. Well, thank you for coming down, taking the time. And
thank you.
We'll be. We'll see your tie-dyed group wherever you go. We can see you.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.